laugh and whatever, and like atmosphere, it's you know something like kind of tragic has happened, like
foreshadowed.
Yeah. Just out the gate and you're like, oh no. Mm-hmm. I was like, again, if anybody has recommendations just for something light. Yeah,
I would say anything by Lorna Landvik, even though like they're not like super light and fluffy, but you're going to fall in love with the characters and they're funny. They're okay. Funny books.
Yeah.
And they're just good.
Yeah. I'll have to check it out.
Support for KAXE comes from Sanford Health with primary care locations in Bemidji and across the upper Midwest. Sanford Health is committed to providing care close to home. Learn more at sanfordhealth.org.
And we also receive support from ICTV. Stay tuned, stay connected with ICTV. You can learn more at watchictv.org.
And you are listening to 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley, Bemidji. We're Northern Community Radio, people-powered radio in Northern Minnesota, operating translator K210DR. In Brainerd at 89.9, you can find us at KAXE.org or ask your smart speaker. We need people like you to support this local media. You can text the word donate to 218-326-1234. Thanks so much for your support. Coming up at 8:10, a conversation with Dave McMillan from Long Lake Conservation Center about Starapalooza.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Dave Mattingly. Economists say they expect the Federal Reserve to announce a quarter-point cut in interest rates this week. It would be the Fed's first rate reduction in 9 months. Despite ongoing concerns about elevated inflation, the central bank is expected to lower rates over concerns about the slowing job market. The Labor Department says employers in the U.S. added 22,000 jobs in August. President Trump is among those planning to attend a large-scale memorial service for conservative activist Charlie Kirk Sunday in Arizona. NPR's Joe Hernandez reports.
The political organization Kirk founded, Turning Point USA, said the memorial service would be held in Glendale, Arizona. The event is set to take place at State Farm Stadium, which has the capacity to hold over 60,000 people. Kirk was shot and killed Wednesday during an outdoor event at Utah Valley University in Orem. President Trump, who was friends with Kirk, called the activist's death a, quote, dark moment for America. Authorities say the suspect in the killing, 22-year-old Tyler Robinson, is being held without bail. Joe Hernandez, NPR News.
Another member of Congress says he won't seek another term on Capitol Hill. NPR's Luke Garrett has more.
Texas Republican Congressman Michael McCaul tells ABC News he's leaving Congress.
It's been an honor to serve for over two decades in the Congress. I'm looking now for a new challenge.
This comes just days after fellow Texas GOP Representative Morgan Luttrell announced his departure from Capitol Hill. McCaul is the former chairman of the Homeland Security and Foreign Affairs Committees and known as a defense hawk. On Sunday, he called on President Trump to get tough on Russian President Vladimir Putin. McCaul says he thinks Trump is, quote, waking up to this fact.
Don't think he's playing fair. I think he's manipulating the president, as a KGB officer would.
With a tight margin in the House, McCaul says he's going to serve the remainder of his term. Luke Garrett, NPR News, Washington.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul is endorsing Zohran Mamdani to be the next mayor of New York City. In a New York Times opinion piece, Hochul says she and Mamdani don't agree on every issue, but the governor says she and the Democratic Socialists do agree on the importance of addressing the lack of affordability across the state and in the city. Former Governor Andrew Cuomo and current New York Mayor Eric Adams are also running, as is Republican Curtis Sliwa. Former Illinois Governor Jim Edgar has died at the age of 79. His family says the two-term Republican governor died of complications related to his treatment for pancreatic cancer. Edgar was first elected governor in 1990. He supported Kamala Harris in last year's presidential election through the group Republicans for Harris. This is NPR News. Calmer weather has returned to southeastern Utah, where several homes were destroyed by tornadoes over the weekend. The National Weather Service says two tornadoes touched down in San Juan County on Saturday afternoon. No injuries were reported there. Forecasters say tornadoes in that part of Utah are rare. Several first-time nominees were winners at last night's Emmy Awards in Los Angeles. NPR's Netta Ulaby reports.
Emmy newcomers included Catherine Lanasa for playing a good-natured charge nurse on HBO's hospital show The Pitt, and Jeff Hiller as a sweet-natured best friend on Somebody Somewhere on the same network.
Thank you to HBO for putting a show about sweaty middle-aged people on the same network as the sexy teens of Euphoria.
Other first-time winners included two actors on the Apple Plus show Severance. Britt Lauer won for Best Lead Actress, and Trammell Tillman became the first black man to win Best Supporting Actor for Drama.
And as my mama would say, ooh, look at God.
Another first-timer, 15-year-old Owen Cooper, who won for Best Supporting Actor in the Netflix series Adolescence. He's one of the youngest Emmy winners in history. Netta Ulaby, NPR News.
The Pitt won the Emmy for Best Drama Series. The studio was honored as Best Comedy Series. Police in Britain say the death of former world boxing champion Ricky Hatton is not considered suspicious. The body of the 46-year-old was found yesterday at his home in Greater Manchester. 2 months ago, Hatton announced he planned to return to the ring. I'm Dave Mattingly, NPR News, in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Luminescence Foundation. Luminescence Foundation is dedicated to shedding light on neurological research focused on Alzheimer's and Parkinson's diseases and supporting land conservation initiatives. This is NPR.
It is 6 minutes after 8 o'clock. You're listening to the Monday Morning Show here on KAXE. I'm Jennifer Barr with Sarah Bignall.
Today in weather, you can expect a 30% chance of showers this afternoon, partly sunny, highs anywhere from 79 to 83, breezy southeast winds gusting up to 25 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy, lows in the low 60s, and tomorrow, Tuesday, sunny with highs in the low 80s, south winds anywhere from 5 to 10 miles per hour, evening lows near 60, and looking to Wednesday, partly sunny with a slight chance of showers, highs in the upper 70s.
Support for KAXE comes from UPM Blend and Paper, a provider of renewable material solutions with a focus on sustainability and innovation. Additional information is available at upm.com. We're going to hear some new music now. This is Tammy Nielsen. It's called Salvation Mountain.
Desert in a metal tin can, the valley of death breathing down my neck. Hit the bottom of a bottomless truck stop, cup of black coffee. Hey, 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 put my last 10 bucks of quarters in the gas tank. Willie on the radio keeping me awake. Pull off the Cadillac Ranch on the interstate in the pouring rain. Hey, hey, hey. Chains, gold plate necklace, worshiping an old king who left the building. Let us sing now. Hey, hey, hey. Sitting in the stained glass, rainbows of the rhyming. On the stage, mama singing Patsy Cline. And the house gets crowded and the crowd gets shouting. They're on their feet now. Hey, hey, hey.
Mountain, find salvation. Been down for so damn long now.
That's new music from Tammy Nielsen called Salvation Mountain here on the Monday Morning Show on People Powered KAXC. I'm Jennifer Barr. The University of Minnesota's Bell Museum is having a star party September 18th through the 20th at 24 sites across the state. Long Lake Conservation Center near Palisade is one of those sites, and they are holding Star-a-Palooza this Saturday, September 20th, beginning at 5 p.m. And Dave McMillan from Long Lake Conservation Center joins us now. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Jennifer. How are you?
Good. How are you? Sarah Bignall's here as well.
Hi, Sarah.
I think you can hear if you can't see her.
Good morning,
Absolutely.
Dave.
Absolutely.
So, what can people expect at Star-a-Palooza?
Well, it is a great event if you're a beginner interested in just learning, dip your toe in the water of astronomy, or if you're a seasoned veteran and you want to go out and learn some really cool stuff. We're blessed to be partnered with the Bell Museum, which is such a fantastic organization. So there are lots of programming that is provided by the Bell Museum, but we also Long Lake, because we are a dark sky facility. We have a fantastic partnership with the Minnesota Astronomical Society, and they're going to be on site with a presentation about what they can expect to see in the night sky. There are lots of games for kids and adults, and these Minnesota Astronomical Society folks are just they have forgotten more about astronomy than I think that if I started studying really hard now, I wouldn't be able to catch up. Mm. These are really true experts, and they're passionate about it. And, there's going to be some programming starting at about 5:00. Last a couple hours there, learning and exploring, kind of indoor education before we head outside. Then starting at about 7:00, the bonfires are going to be rolling. You can't do anything at Long Lake without doing some s'mores and around the bonfire. And then we'll head out to the telescopes, to the observation range, and the folks from the Minnesota Astronomical Society, as well as the Long Lake staff, are going to be setting up a bunch of telescopes. Including the giant Dobsonian telescopes, the 25 and 30 inch telescopes that are, if you haven't seen these, they look like clown cannons. That's how big they are. You need a 10 foot ladder to get up to the viewfinder. They're some of the biggest privately owned telescopes in the state of Minnesota. And we're going to take a look at what's out in the sky. Early in the night, there'll be Saturn, so we'll be able to see Saturn. It's a crescent moon. And the Astronomical Society folks will train it on some pretty interesting objects out in deep space as well. Nebula, star clusters, things like that. So it's a lot of fun. It's great. Like I said, if you've always been interested in astronomy but never did it, or if you're a serious astronomy nerd and you want to talk to some of the best and brightest, and that's the MAS folks, then it's great for you either way. Or if you just want to have a nice night out on a Saturday, enjoy a little stargazing, eat some s'mores, it's going to be beautiful. Hopefully, we'll get lucky and see some auroras, but we don't get to plan that.
So
they happen or they don't.
So what if it's cloudy that evening? What happens then?
Well, we have indoor programming as well. We have a planetarium that we can work inside. We can set up inside. They also have, they're bringing a really cool new toy. They being the Minnesota Astronomical Society friends, a lunar telescope that maybe we could even get a view of the moon through the clouds, perhaps, depending on how cloudy it is. That's the but you hit on it right there, Sarah. That's one of the joys and the frustrations of astronomy. You can have all the right stuff, have all the best intentions, and it's cloudy. Well, you kind of go to plan B, and a lot of times that's sitting around a bonfire and chatting with friends and eating s'mores. But we have some other alternatives to that. We'll just extend our indoor programming.
You know, that's the unfortunate thing of doing outdoor events of weather is that unknown factor of just, you know, why can't it just cooperate, you know?
Well, KAXC has taught me so much over the years, and I'm going to teach you all something. The phrase that astronomers use as a greeting when we say goodbye or nice to see you or see you again, astronomers don't say that. Their salutation is clear skies. Oh. So when they leave, they say clear skies because there are only so many nights with low light conditions, no new moons during the year. And when the weather's just right, and you got to hope that there's clear skies or that Canada isn't on fire and sending its smoke down. But I've gotten to know these astronomers really well. I enjoy doing some amateur astronomy myself. And yeah, it can be frustrating. You get excited because you can look and see what's coming in the sky and some objects that you're going to be able to see, some planets that are going to be visible. And then you get all excited, and then the clouds roll in, and you have to find fun a different way. But we're going to, I haven't looked at the forecast because I don't have any control over it, but I've asked for clear skies, so we'll see.
We are talking with Dave McMillan from Long Lake Conservation Center by Palisade, and they are having Starapalooza this Saturday night at 5 o'clock. So these large telescopes, are they something that the Minnesota Astronomical Society is bringing in, or are these always at Long Lake?
They store them at Long Lake, but they're such valuable toys that they're exclusively used by them. But when we have events like this, or astronomy camps, or other astronomy related events, they're more than happy to come out and let people use them. So if you do decide to come out and do a little stargazing, you'll get to look through those. It's pretty cool. Really is. I was always fascinated by astronomy, but never did it when I took this job 5 years ago. And that first time you look through that eyepiece and you see Saturn, man, it was almost emotional for me. It was like, I can't believe I'm looking at Saturn right now. It's really awesome. And even looking up at the moon, it's a crescent moon. So we'll be able to get a look up at that with there's clear skies and seeing the craters on the moon through a high quality telescope. It is really cool and a bit awe inspiring, and it makes some people think it makes you feel small and insignificant, but I don't think so. I think it made me feel like, man, I'm a part of all of this. That's pretty awesome. And we're living in an amazing place, and we get to see these dark skies and see these objects and connect with them a little bit. It's fun. By the way, I forgot to mention that this is a totally free event. It's and everybody's welcome.
So people can just show up, or do you want people to register ahead of time, or just show up?
They can just show up, but if you want, we'd like to be prepared so we have enough s'mores and other things ready. Just so we know, if you can go to our website, longlakecc.org, under the events tab, or longlakecc.org/starparty, and just let us know that you're coming. That helps us. But if you don't have time to do that, or you don't want to bother with that, just show up. We'll take care of you. This is a community event, and it's we look forward to it every year. We've been blessed to do this for 3 years in a row now, and it's one of our favorite nights of the year. I don't want to jinx it, but we've had clear skies the other 2 years. So,
and can you kind of explain to people where you are located?
Yeah, we're located in Palisade, which is about an hour south of Grand Rapids and about 15 miles north and east of Aiken. We're kind of over in that McGregor area. We're on 760 acres and beautiful long lake in the middle of it. And as always, we're a public venue, so if you want to make a day of it, you can come out earlier, hike around the lake and do a little birding, do a little phenology, see how it's a beautiful time of year. The colors are turning, starting to pop, and by Saturday they'll be even more beautiful. So that's where we are. We're I like to call it suburban Aiken. We're in suburban Aiken.
Yeah, I have not been to your space, but I've driven by your driveway when 169 was detoured. Was it last summer, the summer before we had to do a big detour?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, there's Long Lake Conservation Center.
I am now mad at you officially for, you know, for not stopping in and saying hi.
Oh. Next time.
Next time.
That's Dave McMillan. Starapalooza is this Saturday, September 20th, beginning at 5 p.m. You can find more at longlakecc.org/starapalooza. The Bright Spot is made possible with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Thank you so much for joining us today, Dave.
Oh, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. We hope to see some folks out here for Starapalooza. Be blessed.
Clear skies. Thanks, Dave.
So pleasing, I'll cop out to the change, but a stranger is putting the tease on me. I was down on a frown when the messenger brought me a letter. I was raised by the praise of a fan who said I upset her. Change, I don't know. Why don't you ask her?
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin.
And I'm A. Martinez. The WNBA playoffs tipped off Sunday with all eight teams on the floor, and the New York Liberty are trying to go back-to-back. For more on the playoffs, we called Ben Pickman. He covers the WNBA for The Athletic. So, Ben, what stood out from all the games yesterday?
I like that you started with the New York Liberty because they were really the team that stood out. They played in a 79-69 overtime win over the Phoenix Mercury, and they had to do so on the road. It's been a little bit of a weird season for the New York Liberty. They dealt with a ton of injuries, and so they've gone through this slide after a 9-0 start to the season. Again, being just the 5 seed, having to go on the road. A great performance from Natasha Cloud, one of their acquired guards in the offseason. But the other storyline coming out of the game, Brianna Stewart, one of the best players in the WNBA. She left late in overtime due to injury. So we're waiting to see what the status of her will be for game 2 on Wednesday night.
Yeah, the top 2 seeds, Minnesota Lynx and the Las Vegas Aces, they dominated their games. I think the 2 best players on each team, Asia Wilson for the Aces and Aficia Collier for Minnesota, they both just said, look, this is why we're the 2 best players, and they dominated.
Yep, that is exactly what you need to be said. What needs to be said here? Almost 30-point wins for each of those teams. The Las Vegas Aces, what is so crazy, they are the 2 seed. They haven't lost since August 2nd. They have won 17 games in a row, 16 in the regular season, 1 on Sunday night, as you said. Hey, it's just an unbelievable streak of success for them. There's no reason to suggest it's going to end in this first round series against the Seattle Storm. And then I think things are going to get really tough because they're going to play the Atlanta Dream, potentially, if the Dream can get past the Indiana Fever. And the Dream, too, now have won 7 games in a row.
Now, the Indiana Fever, they're in the playoffs. But if anyone was tuning in to see Caitlin Clark, they did not see her. Why not?
Yeah, Caitlin Clark has not played since July 15th when she injured her groin at the end of a win over the Connecticut Sun. She did do some rehab in the second half of the season. She was seen practicing, 5-on-0 at times, non-contact practices with her teammates, but she hasn't seen the court since. She missed All-Star Weekend, which was actually played in Indianapolis, especially crushing for her and her teammates, and again, did not play in the second half of the year. Just a few weeks ago, 10 days ago, really, she ruled herself out for the remainder of the season. So Indiana trying to fight off the Dream, as I said. We'll see if they can do it. But yes, it has been a tough season for Caitlin Clark and the Fever.
Yeah, quad, groin, ankle injuries, the whole thing with her. Now, the Golden State Valkyries, first expansion team to make the playoffs in its first season. What do you make of their chances?
Well, they've had an incredible season, a historic season, as you said, a first expansion team to make the postseason. And there's a ton of reasons to be optimistic about their future. Team development is clearly something they've proven that they can do. But do I like their chances in this first round series against the Minnesota Lynx? No, I do not. They fell in game 1 of their series 101-72. And frankly, at times, it wasn't even that close in the second half.
The season is not over, Ben. But what kind of a year overall did the league have?
It's been a kind of funny year, partly because of those injuries we mentioned. Caitlin Clark missing the second half of the year. Angel Reese of the Chicago Sky also missing chunks of the year. Brianna Stewart, as I said, missing time this year. Other stars too. Injuries for star players is one of the prevailing themes throughout the year. There were also just kind of weird things that happened. And I don't know if you tracked the story involving sex toys being thrown on WNBA courts. There's also a little bit of controversy as it relates to a potential sale of the Connecticut Sun and where they go. And there's also this kind of looming CBA negotiation. And so there's just a lot going on. I guess the good thing, though, is the basketball's been good. They've still set tons of record ratings. Attendance is up. Merch sales are up. So a positive year in the W, but a weird one at the same time.
Ben Pickman covers the WNBA for The Athletic. Ben, thanks.
Thanks a lot for having me.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Ian Martinez.
And I'm Michelle Martin.
It is coming up on 8:30. You're listening to the Monday Morning Show here on People Powered KAXE. I'm Jennifer Barr with Sarah Bignall.
Good morning. And we receive support from Dale's Auto Body, serving the auto body needs of Grand Rapids and surrounding communities since 1984, performing auto body and collision repair, as well as auto glass replacement, dedicated to getting you back on the road after an accident. More information at dalesautobodyinc.com.
And programming is supported in part by the Judy Garland Museum on Highway 169 in Grand Rapids, featuring Judy Garland's 1920s childhood home and a gallery of Judy and Wizard of Oz memorabilia, including the original carriage from the film. Visitor information available at judygarlandmuseum.com.
Coming up at 8:45, we will be learning more about an event going on in Bemidji this coming week, the Community Latin Block Party. And coming up at 9 o'clock today, Kari Hedlund, she is your host for Headwaters and the request line. We're looking for songs that reference birthdays.
Yes. Every Monday we pick a theme and do a little set of music around 10:30. Yeah. Happy birthday songs.
Happy birthday. I think I know why Kari picked that, because I believe the music department has two birthdays coming up this week.
They do. And we have, I know, another staff birthday on Friday, I believe.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
another one at the end of the month.
Yeah.
So September is a big birthday month for our staff.
Yeah. So celebrating. That's fun.
I'm thinking of the Ting Tings. They have a song?
Oh, maybe.
Well, I think it might even be a cover. It's like, happy birthday.
Oh,
happy
yeah.
Happy birthday.
Yes. Oh, I know that song.
Yes.
Yes. There you go. That's our
thought.
We'll just cut that out and we can just have that played. Jennifer singing.
That would be beautiful.
That would be great.
Love that.
If you have any recommendations, you can text those into us, 218-326-1234.
It's time for the Up North Report.
For KAXE News, I'm Megan Buffington with a special edition of the Up North Report. When Rob Worsham interviewed for his internship, he was asked, are you comfortable walking in the middle of 60 black bears?
I'm retired Army, and I've been in some interesting places, and I was like, sure, why not? 60, I didn't think, that big a deal.
Worsham's now been with the Vince Schuette Wildlife Sanctuary for almost a month.
There's nothing like standing in a crowd of 100 black bears and... Oh my.
The nonprofit American Bear Association runs the sanctuary, which is 10 miles northwest of Orr as the crow flies. There, interns like Rob, volunteers, and a handful of staff feed the bears.
We try to kind of feed them a natural diet. It's just dried fruits, nuts, seed, to complement what they're already going to eat out there in the wild.
Steph Horner is the president and executive director.
There's not fences, there's not cages, they're coming and going as they please, some more than others.
The meals looked a little different when the feeding first started decades ago. Vince Schuette was a logger, and he and his men often dealt with black bears breaking into their camp. After 3 decades of shooting and killing the nuisance bears, he tried something else.
He was like, gosh, they seem to really like my sourdough pancakes, so maybe I should just make them a separate batch. I'll place it away from the cabins and see what happens.
It worked in that it stopped the break-ins. Horner says the troubles of feeding wildlife weren't really known at the time.
Once bears learn a food source, they don't forget a food source, so they continued to come back. I like to say, it wasn't right, but Vince was ahead of his time. He was trying to peacefully coexist with the wildlife that he was sharing a home with.
More and more people came to visit, feeding the bears junk food and trash.
People were doing crazy things like putting kids on the bears' backs and stuff like that. And so not only were there fears of people getting hurt, but it was super disrespectful to the bears.
The nonprofit began in 1995 and built the first deck for visitors to observe from. 10 to 15,000 people visit each year between Memorial Day and Labor Day. Their admissions, plus a gift shop and photography workshops, fund the sanctuary's work. Horner acknowledges that feeding the bears is no longer best practice, and continuing to do so is controversial. In nearby Net Lake, Boys Fort band members have expressed concern that the practice is making the bears too comfortable around humans, leading to potential conflict. Horner says there's concerns that if feeding stopped, it could lead to even more conflict. Tourists who come to surrounding resorts aren't bear aware, and their poor practices could cause problems for suddenly hungry bears.
But, this is a great opportunity for people to learn about bears and to learn how to be bear aware. So we pride ourselves in being a facility that teaches that.
She says that's why the sanctuary's work is important.
The more people that you teach about them, they're going to learn and understand the animal. They're going to ultimately care more about that animal.
The internship program is another education element. The sanctuary gets 15 to 30 interns throughout the season. Ava Stark graduated from UCLA in the spring with a bachelor's in ecology, behavior, and evolution. Thursday was her last day. She says the highlight was witnessing the magic of bear behavior.
Because I really am interested in wildlife behavior and wildlife conservation, and just the work they do here is great.
With Stark's departure, Worsham is the final intern of the season. He'll be there until the last bear leaves to hibernate. The 56-year-old from Pennsylvania isn't your typical intern, but he was bad at retirement. He's pursuing a wildlife rehab certificate and needed the experience. He also loves the bear behavior.
It's kind of special to see and learn. Yeah, two cubs pretending to be adults going. Because I've been watching just this last week alone, the cubs are practicing adulting.
Despite its history, the sanctuary isn't very well known. Horner says it relies heavily on word of mouth.
I would love to scream it at the top of my lungs and for everybody to know about us.
The Vince Schuette Wildlife Sanctuary is always looking for volunteers, she says, and reopens to visitors again Memorial Day weekend. That's it for this special edition of the Up North Report from the KAXE News Desk. I'm Megan Buffington, telling the stories of northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report on KAXE is made possible by Woodland Bank, providing customers with personal and business banking solutions, as well as offering Kasasa checking accounts. You can learn more online at woodland.bank.
You can find local news stories and conversations at our website, kaxe.org. It is 8:36. You're listening to the Monday Morning Show here on People Powered KAXE. I'm Jennifer Barr with Sarah Bignall.
Today in weather, there's a 30% chance of showers this afternoon, partly sunny with highs anywhere from 79 to 83. Breezy southeast winds gusting up to 25 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy, lows in the low 60s. And tomorrow, Tuesday, sunny with highs in the low 80s. South winds anywhere from 5 to 10 miles per hour. Evening lows near 60.
Support comes from the Watermark Art Center in downtown Bemidji with exhibits, classes, and handcrafted original art made by regional artists found in their shop 505. The center is accessible and open to the public. WatermarkArtCenter.org.
So last night was the Emmy Awards. Jennifer, did you watch any of that?
I did not. I don't have network TV or whatever it may have been streaming on. If it was streaming on Paramount, I don't.
Oh.
I don't have that one. Yeah. But I'm always interested in that. Even if I don't watch a lot of the shows, because again, it's like there's so many streaming services.
So many.
And I don't have them all, and I can't get them all, which is fine. But I love looking at like the red carpet looks and seeing who won.
Yeah. So the last week we were talking about, you know, series to get into and binge. And so The Pitt is one that Heidi, I think, had started watching. And it was one that I then started watching, and it was so good.
Yeah.
And they won for best drama series, as well as several of the actors. The charge nurse that is in there, I love her character.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to find her name. She's fantastic. Noah Wiley also won for his role in that. And it's fun to see Noah back. You know, of course, he started out on ER.
Yeah.
You know, but he's older and more mature. And
his speech was so nice where he thanked, you know, or, you know, paying attention to, he's like, if you're, you know, just getting off shift or going on shift,
he
understands, I think, that world a little bit. Well, he spent a lot of time acting in it, which, you know, is of course not the same as actually being an ER doctor, but he's appreciating those people.
So. Yeah. So that was nice to see. You know, I, again, really enjoyed that series. And then Best Comedy Series, then The Studio won for that. And that Seth Rogen is, you know, kind of the creative force behind that. And I've enjoyed the show, but it like causes me anxiety. And I think part of it is like the musical score that's to it. It kind of has like a heightened and it's just Seth Rogen's character in it. You're like, oh my gosh. Why you're stressing me out? Why are you doing this?
Yeah.
But other comedies that were kind of nominated in there with Abbott Elementary, I haven't watched much of, but I know people love that series. And Only Murders in the Building, to which I've really enjoyed that.
Only Murders in the Building, I believe, got a SAG Actors Award last year, but they have not really done well at the Emmys, which is disappointing because they are so, it's such a fun show.
Yep. And Shrinking as well. I don't know if you've watched that. But
I have not, but I would love to.
Yeah, that is a fantastic series. It's on Apple. Harrison Ford is in it, along with Jason Segel and Brett Goldstein, who plays Roy Kent on Ted Lasso. He is the creative person behind the series, and it's so good. It's just a lovely, lovely show. And if you haven't checked that out, and then What We Do in the Shadows also is in the comedy thing, to which they wrapped their final series season. And it's so funny and stupid. And
I've been watching that a little bit. I'm into the second season of that.
It's ridiculous, but in a really fun way. I don't know. Lots of great shows out there. It was fun to see some of the programs that I've been like, oh my gosh, I love that they're winning some Emmys.
Yeah. Coming up in just a few moments, we're going to talk with Naomi Carlson from Headwaters Regional Development Commission. We're going to hear all about Bemidji Community Latin Block Party, which is happening this Wednesday. Right now, we're going to hear some new music from Big Thief. This one's called Los Angeles. Music from Big Thief from their new album Double Infinity. That one is called Los Angeles. It's the Monday Morning Show here on KAXC. I'm Jennifer Barr with Sarah Bignall.
And it's time for The Bright Spot, a chance to highlight something good in northern Minnesota. Bemidji State University, Northwest Technical College, and This Is Our City Bemidji are teaming up to celebrate connection, collaboration, and culture this Wednesday, September 17th, for the Bemidji Community Latin Block Party. Naomi Carlson from the Headwaters Regional Development Commission joins us now to tell us more. Thanks for being here this morning.
Absolutely. It's great to be here.
So tell us a bit about how this event came about.
Yeah, so HRDC has been in partnership with this Bemidji State University Centers of Empowered Community on a update to a comprehensive plan for the city of Bemidji. And so one of the ways we're doing this work is we've combined our collaboration with This Is Our City Bemidji kind of being its own logo work, so the community can know it as more of a community outreach, is not just the Bemidji update to a comprehensive plan. It's to really work to connect community and to get them alongside us in this process. And so we have been able to do some wonderful community picnics as one of the community outreach initiatives. And so the first one was in Nine More Park, City Park. And our local farmers worked on the food and served the food to our residents. And we had over 700 people at that last picnic. And now we are in collaboration with Bemidji State University's Latin Block Party and the president's reception actually going on at the same time. And so we did discuss, you know, does our mission align? Do the values of what we want to get out of this is our city Bemidji, and what the Bemidji State University's wanted to get out of it? And we realized it totally did. It aligned in the sense that This Is Our City Bemidji's whole hope is to get connection to community and really bolster events that are happening already, if possible. And so this has been really a fun collaboration, and we've been working with local farmers. We have Amber Lynn, who was the owner of Table for Seven, downtown Bemidji. And she's kind of coordinating the local farmer side of it. And we have some of our staff actually at the HRDC helping with that side of it. And then we have just a bunch of people volunteering for this. And just today and tomorrow, we're actually doing community door knocking, where we're just going to go and share about give out flyers and just really invite community to join us as we celebrate collaboration, connection, and culture together. And so there is some cultural component of it. We're having the Latin Block Party kind of be that and celebrating, because it is Hispanic Latin Heritage Month. And so that's kind of also part of this, and just coming alongside and partnering with people has been really a fun and exciting. I've met so many new people just by saying, yeah, let's try something new together. So that's just a little bit of the background of it and what we're hoping to get out of it. This Is Our City Bemidji is built up of three different, so the City of Bemidji, HRDC, and the Bemidji State University, CEC. So we're kind of in collaboration and efforts to really dive into how to work better together as a community, and how do we hear people's voices and listen to what they want to see. And a comprehensive plan over the next 10 to 20 years is kind of what we're hoping for. So the community input, we do have a community survey we're going to be putting out. People are welcome to take it. It's about 5 minutes, no pressure. We want them to come. We want people just to come and just enjoy being together in community. And so there'll be a lot of Latin music. I heard there's going to be dancing. There's going to be a little bit of a surprise by one of our partner agencies. They're going to be doing some neat kind of in the middle of the picnic. So you don't want to miss what they have to. I'm not supposed to say what it is, so just come and see. And then it is also Live United Day today, on Wednesday. So United Way, we are in that kind of lane, as well as really bolstering that it is Live United Day in Bemidji. So what a better way to do it than to celebrate together in collaboration and community and culture. So
Yeah, Love United through the United Way. That's always a great thing. And so much going on. This is happening at the American Indian Resource Center on the BSU campus. Is that correct?
Yes. And I think we just, that's why we're doing some additional invitation, like door knocking and different ways. So people know it is not just for BSU students. It is a community picnic for community members, as long as, you know, we just want them to show up. So, yeah. So it's at the American Indian Resource Center from 4:30 to 7:30. And it's for the whole family. Bring your whole family, come. Free, everything's free. Local farmers are doing the meal. There is actually a cool bike ride going on at Paul and Babe at 4:30 that we're also promoting. It's with Pedaling with the Pedaling Ninjas, I believe it's called, is putting it on for This Is Our City Bemidji. So they'll start at Paul and Babe at 4:30. If anyone's interested in that as well.
Yeah, and I saw that you're also offering transportation to this event if people need it.
Yep. If you need transportation, just call the number on the flyer, which is 218-368-1804. That's 218-368-1804. And they'll work with you on where to pick you up and how to do that. So
that's good. And Bemidji had, you know, a kind of a tough summer, and just wondering how folks are feeling there and you know, what an event can mean like to people when they've been having a tough time this summer.
It was overwhelming to see our last turnout of the Nymore City Park picnic, because I think we all just felt so thankful to be in the same place that we could actually play. There was just a petting zoo last time, and there was a bunch of games for kids, and, you know, there was adult games. There was just people showing up for one another. And I just heard overwhelming and like positive comments throughout the event. And then even after, just people thankful that people are willing to come together and be a part of something together, and not be so in their own like little pockets of the neighborhood, that people just wanted to be together. And so definitely this is still that cultural, that character we are still holding, as we wanting people to really feel connected and still continue. And it takes, showing up is important, because if you don't show up, you don't experience the same as if you were there. And so if someone's on the fence of doing something that they've never really done, or they feel a little uncomfortable, just show up. Come find, you know, one of the girls or guys in the shirts that say, "This is our city, Bemidji." They're very friendly and want to talk to you. And I think that that's part of this, is just kind of putting ourselves out there as a team to say we are here to help and serve our community and listen. And we're going to be doing these events. So, and if right now the rain looks like it's not going to happen on Wednesday, so we're excited about that. But there is a rain plan, which I can send over to you so you can post it for some reason. We will have it rain or shine, because there is a rain. There is a plan B for if it rains. So.
Okay.
There you go. Well, that's Naomi Carlson. The Bemidji Community Latin Block Party is this Wednesday from 4:30 to 7:30 at the American Indian Resource Center on the campus of Bemidji State University. And the Bright Spot is made possible with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much. It's wonderful to be.
Thanks.
Yep.
Have a good day.
You too. That is new music from Lettuce, Rising to the Top, here on the Monday Morning Show on KAXE. I'm Jennifer Barr with Sarah Bignall.
We receive support from Hibbing Chrysler Center, serving the Northland for over 25 years on the Beltline in Hibbing. Their service center provides regular maintenance and major auto repairs weekdays from 7:30 to 5:30. More details online at hibbingchrysler.us.
And support comes from the 17th Annual Community Connect, Thursday, September 18th from 11 to 3 at Yanmar Arena in Grand Rapids, featuring over 50 social service agencies providing information on housing, energy, county assistance, and more. All are welcome. More info can be found by dialing 211.
We also receive support from Minnesota Power, an elite company powering the region's homes, businesses, and industries since 1923. Learn more about its vision of a carbon-free future on mmpower.com/energyforward.
Coming up in just a few moments, Kari Hedlund, your host for Headwaters. And since it is Monday, means it's request line day. Today's theme, songs that have anything to do with birthdays.
Yeah, so we've been chatting, trying to rack our brains for that. And I came up with Stevie Wonder's Happy Birthday.
Mm-hmm.
But you had an interesting history on that song.
I believe that song was written to help promote the idea to make Martin Luther King Jr. Day a holiday, a national holiday.
Yeah.
Because it is all about him. And then you said Leslie Gore, It's My Party.
It's My Party, and I'll cry if I want to, you know.
Such a heartbreaking tale.
Yeah, that. And then I was looking online for other things, and so the band Ween has a song called Birthday Boy.
Okay.
I probably have heard it, but was not one. Like, maybe Carl will pick that one up.
Yeah, so text your suggestions, 218-326-1234. Our weather for today... looks like we do have a chance of showers this afternoon, otherwise partly sunny, highs 79 to 83, breezy southeast winds up to 25 miles per hour, partly cloudy tonight, lows near 63, and then sunny tomorrow with highs in the low 80s. And looking ahead to Wednesday, partly sunny, slight chance of showers with highs in the upper 70s.
Coming up at 1 o'clock today, Music on the River, your host is David John, and at 7 o'clock tonight, we have Volunteers Nelson and Annie Lou will be on the river this evening as well.
Lots of great music ahead on 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids.